Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hour two of the Blitz live in the Fan Run studios coming at you now. Charlie, Brandon, and Chance hanging out with you for another hour. 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Every Monday through Friday, 10 to noon right here. Also, live on Periscope, both Twitter and Facebook. You can come watch us. Look at Brandon Oryk's beautiful face wherever you go. And the free Fan Run Radio app available in the Google Play Store, available in the App Store. Go download it. You can listen to it live. You can access all the great articles that we have available online. I'm sure if it's not already posted, pretty soon you'll have a wonderful Tennessee-Arkansas baseball preview to read and get yourself all knowledged up on the series. I'm sure Logan and Quentin will have that coming out soon. But let's do a quick little opening drive before we have Logan join us. What do you say?
I think I can make that happen.
It is kind of weird waiting for this.
Yeah, speak.
First down. Well, Rick always waits for us to drop, okay?
Oh, my God.
All right, first down. VFL, Todd Helton. A Tennessee baseball great. He'll be headed to the Hall of Fame soon. On Thursday, the College Baseball Foundation announced that Todd Helton will be a part of the 2021 College Baseball Hall of Fame class. The Tennessee legend will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on June 26th. Helton, one of the best baseball players in Tennessee history, set numerous program records while on Rocky Top, still holds the Tennessee record for career home runs, career RBIs, career walks, and career saves. Helton also set the single-season record with 92 RBIs in 95, and in 94 he had an ERA of just .89. So pretty unbelievable player. Kind of surprising he wasn't already in the Hall of Fame. I just kind of assumed he was.
Yeah, good for Todd Helton. Is going into the College Baseball Hall of Fame. Do you think he makes it into the majors, in the Major League Hall of Fame?
No, it's tough. I mean, he never won, never was part of a World Series. I'm not saying that's easy. He also, I don't think he won an MVP. He was a straight, you know, hitter most of his year. Could hit for most of his career. Could hit for power. Hit for average. Was like a career 316 hitter, I believe, when he retired from the big leagues. I think he has a good opportunity, but I'm going to say no.
I mean, oh, that's tough.
Doesn't mean that he's not deserving.
He's one of those really, really borderline guys. Very, very borderline. I mean, he in 2021, he made another he's in the last couple of years, really, he's made some big jumps in Hall of Fame support. They did not grant him the necessary 75%, but you know, he's gotten closer and closer. He was listed on 45% of ballots last year, 29 the year before, 15 the year before that. So, yeah, he's still jumping. He'll get close. It'll be about as close of a call as you can get. But right now, the 1995 Player of the Year and SEC Player of the Year has made it into the College Baseball Hall of Fame. So, shout out Todd Helton. All right, second down. Massage therapist at Ohio State has lost her license after targeting Ohio State football players for sexual encounters. Something with the Big Ten. I mean, it just seems like they keep having these kind of scandals. But an investigation led to the revealings that a woman that was working with a football team as a masseuse was engaging in consensual sexual services after she offered massage therapy services. Over 20 players had received these services. She has now been fired. They did note, though, it was all consensual. So, at least you got that going for you.
Yeah. So she was employed by the university?
Yes. Yes, she was.
Okay. I tell you that. I mean, that's the only hang-up, right? Right. I mean, other than that, I don't see any problem with the story.
Consensual. Yeah. I didn't actually see, you know, a huge problem with it, I guess, if she wasn't employed, but
if she's employed by the university.
It's the whole position of power, taking advantage of someone younger, technically, but yeah, I don't think any player probably feels like they were taken advantage of, I would assume. You just can't do it if you work for the school.
So she lost her job?
Yeah, she did lose her job, but her identity was redacted, at least, in the story and in the documents. But she had to surrender her license as well, March 30th.
No, so she's not a masseuse anymore.
Unfortunately, she's no longer a masseuse.
Where'd this happen again?
Ohio State. Oh, excuse me. The Ohio State.
Interesting.
Can't get sued. They have a trademark now.
Get a little rub down while you get a little rub down. Third down.
Third down. Shout out to Lady Vols softball. Man, they were on the verge of getting eliminated by Texas A&M, you know, a couple nights ago, a team that had never even won an SEC tournament game, and people were kind of talking about the future of the old weeklies.
Did they also?
But last night, they went in to the SEC tournament and won a thriller, upsetting the SEC regular season champs Arkansas 1-0.
Didn't they also come back on Alabama a couple in the first night?
That was A&M they came back on.
A&M and the walk-off.
Yeah, but
extra innings or whatever it was.
Man. Junior Ashley Rogers, she's been twirling some gems lately. That's what they like to say over on the old softball diamond.
Twirling some gems.
Twirling some gems.
In the circle.
In the circle. I mean, a shutout of the best team in the SEC, the one seed. Pitching for the second consecutive day, too, because she also only gave up like one or two runs the night before. Her 25th win of the season, 23rd complete game. She had 12 strikeouts and almost broke a record. So it's kind of crazy that, you know, the no wear and tear on your arm throwing a softball that you can just pitch day after day after day. But thankfully you can, because Ashley Rogers has been tearing it up. Tennessee now on to the semifinals, where they
play Alabama, correct?
Yeah, now they play Alabama with a chance to make it to the SEC championship show. Go Vols, man. Go Lady Vols. Shout out to them.
Good for them. Good for the weeklies. I like the weeklies.
Yeah, I do too. Their contract expires in 2022, and Tennessee's kind of taken a dip in softball from, you know, top of the top to, you know, mid tier. So people were kind of questioning their future, but nice little run so far in the SEC tournament. We'll see if they keep it up. Fourth down. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. It's my favorite story from last night. Miami Heat captain, the man, the myth, the legend, Udonis Haslem. He made his season debut last night.
Well, don't they do that every year? They just put him in like the last game?
Yeah, but it's not the last game yet. And it was kind of a big game against the 76ers. So kind of surprising to get to see him make his season debut. But he did. The 40-year-old was in the game for roughly 3 minutes when he got ejected.
Ejected?
What did he do?
He got into the face of Dwight Howard and tried to fight him after a routine play. He played 3 minutes early in the second quarter, got into it with Dwight Howard. Both of them got ejected. Haslem, after the game, said, "It was fun. It was fun for me to just go out there and play the game of basketball and show that I can continue to play at a high level and help my team win. It was fun."
Seems like a stretch.
Very much a stretch.
How long has he been with the Heat?
I don't know.
For at least.
I think maybe longer than I've been alive. That would be my guess.
I'd say 15 seasons.
Let's see.
Maybe longer.
Oh, he also added, it was a great memory, 18, and if this is the last one.
18 seasons.
But yeah, he added too. It's a great memory, and if this is it, if this is the last one, I finish it the only way Udonis Haslem could, with an ejection. If you ask me, Dwight Howard got lucky that the refs intervened and threw Udonis Haslem out, because it would have gotten so much worse. Those two, I mean, they hate each other. And Udonis Haslem is maybe the last person in the NBA I would ever mess with. So,
Haslem never really been a stat stuffer. His best season, he averaged 12 points.
He did go out there and ball in Dwayne Wade's last game. I think he almost had a triple-double.
In Dwayne Wade's last game?
Yeah.
What year was that?
2019.
So now I got to look that up.
Udonis Haslem. I mean, if you just go to Udonis Haslem's game log, there's five games in the last 5 years.
A triple-double?
He got close. Like, he was on the verge. I feel like I remember that. Or maybe I'm just losing my mind.
I feel like you're losing your mind.
I mean, that's a very real possibility.
No, 2019. His best game, he had 4 rebounds.
2018, 2019. 12 points, 11 rebounds. Oh, so it was the double-double, my bad. 12 points, 11 rebounds against the Brooklyn Nets.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that was Dwayne Wade's last game, I believe. He still got it. He showed that he can still play at a high level. Showed that he can still play at a high level.
He still got it, huh?
We got a lot going on in the NBA, though, so you know, we'll get into that later, but we'll take a quick break here on the other side. We'll have Logue Stradamus joining us to help us preview this Tennessee-Arkansas series. And welcome back to the Blitz. Getting ready to talk this Tennessee-Arkansas series. And we got our guy, Logan Quinton, on the phone line, ready to preview what we got going on over at Lindsey Nelson this weekend on Twitter at LDQ Sports. Logan, my man, how you feeling, man? How you doing?
What's up, Charles?
You ready? You ready for the biggest weekend in Tennessee baseball history, regular season history?
I'm ready, man. Look, it's a beautiful day. Great day for baseball. Although I will say, I'm not trying to complain here. I know this weather's comfortable, but me, myself, I'm ready for the temperature to heat up. Like, I'm ready for summer. It's the middle of May.
No, this is perfect. This is perfect weather.
It's not perfect. It could be, like, 10 degrees warmer, and then it would be perfect. It's 66 right now. 76
look, I'm
ideal.
Not trying to complain. I'm like an amphibian. I need that hot, sticky weather. I need a body of water. I'm ready to take some laps in the pool, maybe a swim across the lake. That's how I thrive.
Well, you're getting a little bit more of your wish tomorrow. Tomorrow we got not a cloud in the sky, 75 degrees. It'll be perfect baseball weather. But, you know, just getting into this series we got coming up. You know, number 4 Tennessee, number 1 Arkansas, tied for first in the SEC. Well, actually, I guess now both a half game back because Mississippi State played today early. But still, I mean, SEC kind of up for grabs here. I think, you know, probably fair to call it the biggest series in regular season series, at least, in Tennessee baseball history. And two pretty evenly matched teams. So with, you know, all the hoopla surrounding this series, do you kind of worry that maybe, you know, the spotlight will kind of affect Tennessee a little bit, or just Tony Vitello playing, you know, his old team, if that could, you know, kind of have effects on the psyche of Tennessee?
No, I don't think so. And I think this works out great for Tennessee because, like, as you mentioned, I think it is the biggest matchup probably in the program's history, especially over the course of the last couple of decades. And if you look at it, you know, Vanderbilt, this is Tennessee's second five matchup of the year. And both of them were at home. The Vandy series, that thing kind of happened in a vacuum. It happened really quick, right? I don't want to say it snuck up on us, but it kind of did. And so we saw a lot of emotion in that series. And it was important that the Vols did make a statement in Game 2, but they came out flat in Games 1 and Game 3. Tony V spoke to that emotion, that adrenaline that it took to get through that series, because it was such an unprecedented thing for Tennessee baseball. You've already experienced that, and it's almost like you get to run it back. You don't get to run it back with Vandy, but you get to have another crack at SEC supremacy. Look, there's a slight chance number one in the nation could be at stake here, depending on how things shake up across the college landscape over the weekend. So I think they're going to be better prepared, and their focus is going to be there for sure.
So obviously, you know, two very good teams, but what kind of advantages does Tennessee have matchup-wise against Arkansas that we should look out for this weekend?
Well, for one, the first thing that comes to mind is, I hate to look ahead, but when you look at Blade Tidwell, what he's done as a freshman, it's outstanding. So I think Tennessee has the edge in Game 3. A lot of that's predicated on, like, how many relief arms are used between the two squads between now and then. But just looking at the peripherals, like, you would think Tennessee has an edge in Game 3 because of what Tidwell has done. He has a 3.71 ERA. That's tops among all freshmen in the conference. And so, looking at Games 1 and 2, a lot of people are kind of scared of this Arkansas team, and rightfully so. But when you dig into it, like you said, it's a pretty even matchup. What's interesting is the Vols have been so consistent in terms of their starting rotation. If you would have told me after the Jackson Leith injury that the Vols would have their rotation locked in all year long, same starters every weekend, and the worst ERA is 4.11, like, I would take that heartbeat, especially what their record stands. So if between Cheese Dallas and Will Heflin, if they can just do what they've done all year, and Tony V mentioned that on the drive a couple of days ago, back on Wednesday, he said, the ball's going to be in their hand. They're going to dictate the tempo and the way things go. And if they do what they've done all year, they're going to have a chance to be in this thing. So a lot of it's going to come down to the relief arms. But I think Tennessee has an edge overall in terms of the starting rotation. But Arkansas clearly has the edge when it comes to relief, particularly with Kevin Copps. That guy is just all-world, 0.72 ERA. That's going to be tough to navigate through him.
Logan, when you look at this matchup this weekend, Arkansas is number one. But Charlie mentioned this earlier, and he's not the first person that I heard say this. A lot of people think that better matchup with the Diamond Vols playing against Arkansas than it was against Vanderbilt. Help it all make sense for me.
Yeah, absolutely. That I am 100% on that perspective. So without Kevin Copps, like, if you look at Arkansas's rotation and pin and stuff, it's good, but it's not like you don't get that dose of Rocker and Lotter, that 1-2 punch that Tennessee saw back last month. Now, both of those guys for Vandy have had their struggles here and there. They're not invincible, but they're just so Tennessee hit those guys or hit Rocker especially at the wrong time. I mean, that dude was just phenomenal. And when those two pitchers are pitching at their best, I'm not sure anybody can beat them in the tournament, come tournament time. But as it pertains to Arkansas, I mean, outside of Patrick Wicklander, I mean, he's got a really nice ERA, sub-2 ERA, 58 strikeouts. He's their premier guy. When it gets to, like, their Saturday and Sunday guys, that's when it gets a bit shaky. Their Sunday guys, their Game 3 guys, it's been a all-hands-on-deck type of approach. They don't really have anything solidified there. That's why I say Tennessee has the edge in the Sunday game, because they've got their guy in Blade Tidwell. So, that's some things can happen. If you, a lot of it's going to be predicated for Tennessee on tonight, and really both teams. I think whoever wins tonight has an enormous chance to take the series. But yeah, that's, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable outside of Wicklander. They don't really have that 1-2 punch that Vandy does. And Tennessee, like I just mentioned, is consistent. They don't have a first-round draft pick in their starting rotation, but they are just consistent, and the guys keep them in the game and have allow them to have a chance once six or seven innings are over with.
Awesome. Again, we're talking with Logan Quinton of FanRunRadio.com. You can follow him at Twitter at LDQ Sports. Logan, also looking at, you know, the offensive side of everything, you're talking a little bit about the pitching, and obviously the bats have been pretty hot for the Diamond Vols lately. Liam Spence, he's having an All-American type of season, maybe even in a run for SEC Player of the Year. Tell me why he's starting to just kind of get his name on the map. I know he's had a tremendous season, but seems like maybe we're not talking about him enough, or he's not getting enough respect that he has deserved all season.
Yeah, it's because he doesn't have those sexy statistics, right? Like, he's just got two home runs, 26 RBI. You know, that doesn't really grab the attention of a lot of fans. But, man, the .389 average and the .530 on base percentage, I mean, that's just nuts. He's getting on base over half the time, and we're almost the full season is almost complete. We're through. This would be game 50. So, like, that's just ridiculous. But, man, he keeps this lineup turning. He's such a tough out and such a tough at bat for pitchers. And he's been a nice surprise. I mean, you felt like he was going to, like, be someone who could be relied upon and be consistent.
Yeah.
But, man, I was totally – I was wrong. I'll admit, I said – preseason, the catalyst for this team was Max Ferguson, and boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say,
wrong Evan, in a good way.
Evan Russell, you know, obviously we know what he's done, and, you know, he's a long ball machine. But what type of impact does Spence need to have in this game, and is this a game where he can really have a big series?
Yeah, I think so. He's going to be Mr. Consistent. He's going to keep going out there grinding at bat, and that's another way that Tennessee can provide a spark is with these righties in the lineup. Wicklander's a lefty, so right-handers like Spence, Rucker, Beck, even Greer, they're going to play a huge part in getting out to early lead, because that's going to be key. I wrote about this today. Those getting out to an early lead, particularly today and tomorrow, will be key for the Vols, because once Copps comes in, you know, you're not getting much out of that. So you're going to have a lead. They're traditionally, UT's been good this year in the first five innings. They're going to have to keep that up. They're going to have to get ahead and work from ahead early in the games. And these right-handers are going to play a big part, and Spence is no exception.
Yeah, talking about Spence, is he up for any consideration in the running for any you know, awards as we approach into the season, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's in the mix. I'd be surprised if he comes away with, like, the Golden Spox Award or something, because it's just – people are going to vote for or lean towards the guys that are hitting more homers, creating more runs. But I think his name, I think whether it's a writer's poll or however those things are done, people should do their due diligence and at least add him as a nomination, because what he's done for this team, what he means to this lineup is just is pretty outstanding.
Again, talking with Logan Quinton, LDQ Sports on Twitter, Tennessee baseball expert. We talked about the pitching staff for the Razorbacks, but, you know, what's their lineup look like, and what's the best way for these Tennessee pitchers, you think, to go about attacking them strategically?
it's a pretty fluid lineup, and but they lead the league in homers, so that's, you know, guys like Will Heflin and Chad Dallas are going to have to watch out. Those guys both have a home run per nine of 1.6, which is that's right at the dangerous territory. But a guy like Dallas, he's able to kind of manage that because he doesn't let guys on base at an alarming rate. So when you're striking out opponents at the rate that Dallas does, and you're limiting your walks, you can kind of live with.
I think we lost him.
Yeah, I think we lost Logan.
You guys also Logan. Don't
oh,
hear
guys.
Him. There
oh,
he
we're
is.
Back.
Hey.
Hey.
We got you.
Yeah, can't lose me that soon. But no, Dallas over his last 20 innings, he's given up 9 runs, 20 strikeouts, just 3 walks. He's averaging 100 pitches his last 3. So I look for him to go the distance or try to go the distance in terms of, like, you know, 7-8 innings. And if he can limit the long ball, and then again with Heflin the same way. If he can limit the long ball, they're going to have a chance.
All right, Logan, you got it right last week, I believe. You gave us the sweep prediction, Logstradamus. Before we let go of you here, what are you thinking? How does this play out this weekend?
You're right. Logstradamus is back. I predicted 25 runs or more in the series last year for Tennessee and the sweep. This week, I'm going with I'll make it a little parlay, so make it a little more difficult. I'm going to go with Peyton Manning throwing out the first pitch.
The odds on that, Logan, are like minus 8,000.
Yeah, I know that some news broke this morning on the interwebs, and you know, but I had this in. I had it marked down. I had it booked last night before all that happened. So I'm going to go with Tennessee's going to get the series win. They're going to win 2-1, and they're going to get a leg up in the SEC.
Will you think they'll end up in first place at the end of the weekend, or will Mississippi State sweep Missouri?
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. I don't think that they will be number one overall, but I do think they'll beat Arkansas.
All right, 2-1. You heard it here first.
Yep.
The man himself, Logan Quinton, again on Twitter at LDQ Sports. Logan, thank you so much for joining us again on this fine Friday. I'm sure we'll talk to you again next week when Tennessee goes to South Carolina. But yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks, Logan. Go Vols.
Go check it out on Fan Run.
Of course. I'm sorry, Logan.
Too.
Yeah, so. Please plug.
I'm
your
so sorry, Logan.
Since Charlie doesn't know how to do that for me.
I plugged it before. I forgot to plug it after.
Logan's got an excellent preview.
It is amazing. The preview is so good. It's on FanRunRadio.com. The best preview in America. Honestly, if you search for Tennessee baseball previews, nothing will even come close to touching what Logan writes. You will find everything you need to know and then some stuff you didn't think you need to know.
Appreciate it again, Logan. We'll talk to you next week, buddy. Thanks.
Hey Logan,
Brandon has one thing.
One thing before you go, Logan. Last week, when you talked to us, you said that after the weekend, the Braves would be in first place, but they currently sit 4 games back of my first place New York Mets, who have won 7 straight games.
Yeah, so about that.
I'm just giving you a
You put him on the spot. He's got speechless over here. Are the Braves going to have to fire Brian Snitker?
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you this. If it wasn't for Ronald Acuna, they would not be worth watching. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but it is not fun right now to be a Braves
fan. Hey, we suck too, man. I feel you.
Yeah, couldn't be me. Couldn't be me.
Oh, goodness.
I'm just giving you a hard time, Logan. It's good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Logan. Talk to you next week. That was Logan Quinton. You can find his work at fanrunradio.com. Also, you can find him on Twitter at LDQ Sports for more Vol baseball insight and a little bit of a Braves banter as well. the Blitz.
Great song.
Back here on Fan Run Radio.
Did you guys listen to his new album? I guess you already said you haven't.
No, I haven't yet, but I want to, and I likely will on my way home out of here today, and then I'll listen a little bit more of it tonight. But all the different like gifs and different like memes from the internet,
is a little over 39 minutes long.
Yeah.
He's not one of those rappers that's going to mess around and give you a 20-song album where there's just some garbage thrown on it. He's going to give you quality stuff.
For those of you who don't know, we're talking about
J. Cole.
J. Cole and his new album that came out the off-season. It
was so
apparently
good.
There's a drama about – there's a song where he talks about he fought P. Diddy in 2013. Let my hand off of you or something like that. Leave my hand.
Yeah.
Something like that. At least I haven't listened to the album, but –
I listened to it like twice back to back when it came out last night at midnight.
A lot of good music this weekend. Very, very good. You know what that means? When you see a lot of good music lately, because we didn't see it a lot during the pandemic, and that's because they couldn't get to like in the studio of producers, engineers, labels, like couldn't meet up, like, you know, like to see what they were going to launch and roll out for the different quarters. That means we're back outside.
The vibes are back.
When you hear the music, we're back outside again.
The vibes are all the way back. Let's
Speaking of vibes, we want to head to the NBA hardwood.
Say, let's take a little look around the association, see what was going on last night. We're nearing the very end of the season.
Brandon, you were not here the other day, and I'm sorry, but what the hell are your Celtics doing losing to the Cavaliers?
I told you.
They screwed me and Chance.
You don't care anymore. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jason Tatum got me. I had to put a curse on him yesterday while you were out. Because,
oh, you cursed him.
Yeah, I had to. One, because he lost to the Cavaliers, and I felt like he could get 30 by himself, or at least he had 60 points, 3 weeks ago in a game?
Yeah, against the Spurs, yeah.
Against the Spurs, you know, well-coached team, and now it seems like he and the Celtics have just...
We're broken.
They've forgotten to play basketball like Space Jam.
Hey, Chancellor.
Yes.
You want to know who's the opposite of broken?
The Miami Heat.
My Miami Heat.
I don't know you were going there.
The Heat are the hottest team in basketball. No team has a better record since April 19th.
I thought the Hawks did. The Hawks have the best record since March, I believe.
Oh, I'm saying since April 18th. The Heat have the best record.
Nice disclaimer there.
That's the date
there.
That I choose. The date that I choose is April 18th.
Nice
disclaimer. Because I can choose whatever day I want. We're 8-2 in our last 10.
That's very true.
Just absolutely whooped the 76ers last night up and down the
floor.
They
did.
Gave him a spanking.
There was a point in that second half or maybe second quarter where the 76ers hadn't scored a basket in like over 12 minutes. It was pretty atrocious. So we have, two games left in the regular season. The playoffs officially start next Saturday with the play-in tournament having going on this week. So in the coming week, the play-in doesn't start this weekend. The play-in starts like Monday or Tuesday, and then we have the official start to the playoffs on Saturday.
And those play-in spots at this point pretty much locked up.
Yeah.
You got in the East, the top six spots avoiding the play-in have all been clinched. The 76ers can clinch the one seed with one more win. They're a game up on Brooklyn, who's in second.
Technically, the Bulls are not out of it, but I don't see the Wizards dropping.
Yeah, so
the next
top that top six is pretty set. You know, there can still be some flip flopping with the Hawks a half game up on the Heat for fourth and the Knicks. Looking at the play-in itself, the Celtics as the seven seed are two games up on the eight seed Charlotte, and also two games up on Indiana, who's tied for that eighth seed.
Yep.
So it looks like, you know, the Celtics will probably end up as that seven, but they could still be playing either the Hornets or the Pacers or even the Wizards, who are, you know, one game back of that eighth spot. And the Bulls still technically still alive, not quite sure how, but they're two games back of the Wizards with two to play. So
yeah, unless the Wizards just blow it down the stretch, I mean, I don't think the Bulls.
I guess you guys have the tiebreaker with them.
Yeah, they have the tiebreaker. So if, the Bulls, they could win the next two games. But like I said, I just don't see it on
the – y'all got to play the Nets.
Yeah, tonight. I was about to say. And I don't see the Nets sitting anybody. They play the Nets, and then they also play the Bucks. Are the Bulls' next two games. So we can go ahead. We can go ahead and scratch that from any type of play-in scenario. And the Wizards, their next two games are the Cavaliers, and then they play the Hornets. So they play the Cavs tonight, and they play the Hornets on Sunday, which they're going to win tonight, and they're going to clinch that play-in spot, and we're going to have all the teams there. I'm pretty excited about the NBA playoffs. What about you guys?
I'm pretty pumped. Looking at the East and the play-in again, nobody's hot. Who knows who's going to come out of those play-in games? The Celtics have lost 4 in a row. Mm-hmm. They're 3-7 in their last 10.
Hornets have lost 3 in a row.
3-7 in their last 10. And
Pacers
the Wizards
are 4-6 in their last 10. And the Wizards are 500 at 5-5.
And both
the
of them
10.
Have lost their most recent games. So that should get pretty fun. Over in the West, things are still pretty crazy.
Highest team in the West right now, and we've talked about them, is the Warriors. They're the hottest team right now. I don't know what their record is.
The Trailblazers are hotter.
Yeah, they're pretty hot, too.
The Trailblazers are 8-2 in their last 10.
Who's scarier?
Who's scarier? I'd still say the Trailblazers. I mean, they got a double dose instead of just one. You got to deal with old Dame and CJ McCollum, not just
Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Well, don't forget about Andrew Wiggins. He's had a couple 30-point outings lately.
Don't give me anything about Andrew Wiggins.
He has had some pretty good basketball
play. I don't
want to
hear about Andrew Wiggins. Did you guys catch any basketball last night? The Trailblazers Suns game was one of the better games of the season, arguably.
Yeah, that was a good one.
The Trailblazers should have won that game, and then there was a foul called on the Trailblazers, a very controversial call with, I think, 1.5 seconds left, or 2.4 seconds left, excuse me. Devin Booker got sent to the free throw line. I didn't think it was a good foul call. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it.
I saw it. It could have went either way, in my opinion. I don't like calls like that late in the game. I always like to let them play and let the game figure out itself. But then also I'm the person who's like, man, if it's a foul, it's a foul. I mean, call the game the way it's supposed to be called and call it by the rules. You just hate to see it like that. But the West is going to be
so good.
Yeah, and that's traditionally how it is in the NBA. The West playoff matchups are a lot better than the East because
– I think the East will be pretty good too, though. It's gotten a lot better.
There's just not a definitive number one. I mean, the Nets – I'm picking the Nets. Brandon's picking the Nets. We're probably all picking the Nets until we see otherwise, especially with Harden back now, Durant back, and the presence of Kyrie coming back for the playoffs as well. Who can touch them in a seven-game series? Will they get tested? Likely, but who can really take them down in seven games?
I mean, the Miami Heat?
The bubble Heat was a fluke. I'll say it.
Bam Adebayo is, in my opinion, should be the defensive player of the year. I'll say it. Every time he matches up with a star, he shuts them down consistently.
I'll agree with that. He also said
I think he could match up really well with KD.
He made a comment on after the game when they played on TNT this past week that they asked him why he deserved to be Defensive Player of the Year. And what was his comment? I do everything defensively on the court, and I'm going to walk off on that one.
I mean, he has a point.
No, he can guard 1-5. Like, I'll give you that. Bam Adebayo is a great defensive player, and I think that he's up there. But statistically, Rudy Gobert is having one of the best defensive years in NBA history. So that's where he's
going to be. In NBA history?
Yeah, his numbers are up there. I saw that also when they were comparing him and Bam at the end of that game when they were speaking to Bam about being Defensive Player of the Year.
So just so we're clear, Charlie. You're saying that you think Bam Adebayo can hold Kevin Durant in check if the Heat are to play the Nets?
I mean, there's no such thing as holding.
Yeah, you just can't hold the Durant.
Yeah, like that. There's no such thing as holding him in check.
Durant will kill him. I'm
can
with you.
Can he do a sustainable job? I believe so. Are you going to pull up some stats about Kevin Durant on Bam Adebayo? Is that
no,
what's going to happen?
No, I was just keeping this in my notes here, just in case.
In the scroll, man.
Oh, you're putting it in the Google Doc.
In the scroll.
Just in case the Heat play the Nets.
Again, well, make sure you wrote it down the correct way, please. Nowhere did Charlie Collier state.
How do you want me to put it? Bam Adebayo can.
Bam Adebayo can do a serviceable job defensively against Kevin Durant and an elite job compared to the league average.
You know, if Durant goes for like 30-40, that's not serviceable.
Yeah, what are we defining as serviceable?
Like under 25?
I think he can hold him to under 25 a game in the series.
Okay.
average.
I will give you.
Is that the best way to put it, or should no? I'll or should I go that. With field goal percentage?
If you're saying anybody that's guarding Kevin Durant and them being serviceable and guarding him, I'd say under 25 is a decent job.
I just feel like there are very few people in the league better suited to be able to guard Kevin Durant.
Under 25 points is what we're going with.
I like it.
I love the way the Heat match up with everyone in the East. I'm not scared of anybody. Free smoke. Who wants it? Udonis has him. We'll put him back in. We'll have him take out Kevin Durant. Then we don't have to worry about guarding him.
Well, Jimmy Butler also. Great.
Kendrick Nunn's hot.
Great in the
Duncan
playoffs.
Robinson's hot.
Ain't nobody scared of Duncan Robinson.
I mean, they should be. The best best catch and shoot shooter in the NBA right now.
Or not Jim Carrey, but Tyler Herro with his Lloyd cut that he has of late. 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Last call to get on the program. Come back.
What's Rick say? The next segment's about to be, does he say bussin'? I don't think that's what he says.
I don't think he's ever said bussin'.
No, he always says poppin'. It's the next segment's going to be poppin'.
Bangin'.
Bangin'. Final segment here on the Blitz. We've had a wonderful week, a wonderful Friday. Getting ready for tonight. I am fired up. You guys going to be able to make it to any of the games this weekend?
The only one that I would be able to make it would be to tomorrow afternoon's game. So possibly.
Brandon?
But that's if I find some cheap tickets.
Can you go to any of them?
Maybe Sunday, maybe.
Oh, look, I'm very bored right now. And very alone. So if you guys want to go to any of the games, please let me know.
You can still getting in with your student ID?
Yeah, but also like I'll buy a ticket to sit with you guys too. Like I don't care. They're $30, $35.
Oh, are they? Nice.
Yeah, they're pretty cheap online. But anyway, let's end this week, this Friday, with the way we always do it. A little if you haven't heard. Anybody have one?
I got some stats and info.
Oh, it's big stats thing. And info, guys. That's your
new, it's my new thing.
Days of the week and stats and info.
Yeah, stats and info. Ronald Acuna Jr., talking about the Braves earlier with Logan, has 50 home runs and 42 stolen bases in his last 162 games. You know the only other player in league history with 50 home runs and 40 stolen bases in any 162-game span? Any guesses?
Give me
only other player in league history.
Joe DiMaggio.
No.
Ted Williams.
No. Thing more recent.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Barry Bonds.
Barry Bonds. I forgot that he was fast at one point.
Yeah, he was a 40-40 guy. Like that's when people like, I know Bonds did the steroids.
By the time I was a child, he was just big.
Yeah, he was big.
I just remember fat Barry Bonds.
Yeah, but like people forget his time in Pittsburgh when he was a 40-40 guy every year. So Barry Bonds is the only other player in MLB history to do that in 1993 to 1995. Also, here's another one. The Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is the first player after last night with 40 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 75% shooting in a game since?
2013.
No, since what player? 40 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 75% from the field.
Russell Westbrook.
Kobe Bryant.
Charles Barkley in 1988.
We're bad guessers, Charlie.
We're not good at this.
These are tough ones, though. All right, I got another one for you. Damian Lillard. After last night's game against the Suns, you talked about that great game that we saw, lost by 1 point, though, has now scored 20-plus points in the fourth quarter 8 times in his career. 20-plus points in the fourth quarter 8 times in his career. That is tied with LeBron James for the second most over the last 25 seasons. Do you guys know who has done that more? There's only one other player.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Oscar Robertson.
You just said it.
Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant. Has done this more. He has Kobe Bryant, RIP.
Jonas Elgelskis.
He did it 11 times in his career.
Whoever the hell Rick got his NBA Top Shot highlight from.
And
not Bam, though.
Here's another one for you.
Oh, more stats.
Yeah,
Charlie's boy, Elias Sports Bureau over here.
Yeah, that's where they're coming for. That's where they're coming from. These are not my stats. They're coming from Elias Sports. Udonis Haslem was ejected, as you said, after playing two minutes and 40 seconds last night.
My guy.
According to Elias Sports, that's the fewest minutes played by a player who was ejected in his first game of the season over the last 10 seasons.
Yeah! My guy!
Yeah, he gets in the record
Well, if
books.
We're doing the stats and info thing, baseball-wise, Corbin Burns, who's probably the best reliever in baseball currently, he broke the record.
That was my next one.
Well, I stole it from you. Suck it.
You can't steal stats and info from stats and info guy.
I just did. He struck out 58 in a row to start the season, a record for the best start to a season, as well as just the most consecutive without a walk. And he finally walked someone last night, so his K to walk ratio is now 58-1, which is just absurd.
The previous record, finally saw the stretch
coming to an end.
Previous record for most strikeouts before the first walk was previously held by Kenley Jansen, set in 2017 for the Dodgers with 51.
All right, we got 2 minutes left. Anyone else have another one, or should we make some predictions for the weekend?
If you haven't heard, Kansas City Chiefs signed sixth-round pick Trey Smith to a $3.8 million deal, which includes $130,000 and some change.
Shout out to the kid.
Signing bonus.
Shout out to the kid.
All right. Real quick, predictions for this weekend.
I'm going with Logan. I say 2 out of 3. I'm not going to be a fool and say sweep like I did with Vandy. I'm going to say 2 out of 3.
Brandon? Actually, I'll go first.
You can't go first because I just went, but go.
I'll go first between us two. All right, I'm tired of you over here in my ear. Making me think things. Rattling me. I want to say sweep. I really do. But they're both.
Last time we did that, it was bad.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1. Tennessee takes 2. Definitely Sunday. What about you, Arkansas, Brandon?
They definitely take tonight because Brandon has the shirt on.
I think Tennessee takes 2 out of 3.
I like it. Cheese Dallas tonight.
Pig suey.
Oh, he did it.
You got to get on a higher octave when you're making the call, though.
I didn't know what was going on at first. Like, what was he doing? I was like, oh, he's doing the pig suey. He's doing the pig suey Friday. National calendar days for Friday, May 14th.
Cancel it out with Rocky Top, though.
2021. Today, National Dance Like a Chicken Day, something Charlie does all the time. Hey, prepare. You're going to be in this seat next to me. We're going to start doing this. You can take it. You're a big boy. It's also National Decency Day.
When's Chicken Boy Day again?
I don't know. Hopefully it's coming up soon. Wasn't his name Brandon Davis too?
I think it might have been.
Yeah, the guy at Georgia. It's also National Underground America Day and National Buttermilk Biscuit Day.
Oh,
great song
baby.
By Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Oh, baby. Well.
Come on, end the show.
Yeah, that's
come
all on. For the Blitz. We got Talk Sports coming up next. They're chilling in the studio. John
weekend.
Found his baseball jersey. He's wearing it. Have a great weekend. Go Vols. Let's go beat Arkansas. How about it?